E-Radio, Ideas on Europe, in partnership with UACES.
For our weekly Ideas on Europe editorial by UACES, the University Association for European Studies, we have a very special guest today, Dr. Catherine Simpson from Manchester Metropolitan University. Dear Catherine, welcome back to EU Radio.
Bonjour Laurence, it's so lovely to speak to you again, and yes, that's right, I was a stagiaire at Euradio in 2008, that was during my Erasmus year at Sciences Po Rennes, and then in 2010 when I was studying my master's degree at the University of Bath and Sciences Po Paris.
That's right, if I remember well, in 2008 you covered the Irish no vote at the referendum on the Lisbon Treaty for us.
Yes, that's right. So I was an intern working in the newsroom at Euradio, and I interviewed the then Minister for European Affairs, Dick Roach. And in that interview, Minister Roach stated that a second referendum on the Lisbon Treaty was necessary for Ireland to essentially remain at the heart of the EU. And that was a bit of a scoop for Euradio because his comments were picked up by Ireland's national broadcaster, RTE, but also the BBC. And it turned out to be true. Ireland did hold a second referendum on the Lisbon Treaty in October 2009.
And then you joined us again in 2010.
That's right. At your request, you very kindly asked me to come back. And I spearheaded a new programme called English for Everyone. And this was an afternoon magazine show that covered a wide range of topics, so things like music and politics, culture and sport, from across the European Union. And I had the opportunity to produce the programme, get to grips with the technical side of radio production, and really made the programme my own. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I worked with a phenomenal team, but I did realise that the career in journalism wasn't quite what I wanted to pursue.
And now you have become a well-known academic, Catherine.
Yes, that's right, I suppose. In 2011, I started studying my PhD in politics and government at the University of Kent in Canterbury, and the rest, they say, is history. But my research focuses on public opinion, political behaviour and attitudes towards the European Union, in particular in Ireland and the UK, and obviously more recently, of course, in the context of Brexit. But Euradio was really, really key in creating, I think, my research career and my career in academia.
So let us know your perspective on Ireland's relationship with the EU now.
Yes, I mean, it used to be so simple. European integration was good for Ireland and Ireland was a good European, and that was very much the mainstream consensus. And in the run-up to the 2009 European election, several European and Irish leaders described Ireland as being at the heart of Europe. But that pro-European consensus was already under strain, as shown by the 2008 referendum on the Lisbon Treaty, that no vote. And the 2009 European Parliament election took place on the cusp of a very dramatic transformation of Ireland's and Europe's circumstances.
I presume you refer to the global financial crisis.
Exactly. Yeah, the crisis had a very specific impact on Eurozone countries. This was followed by a succession of foreign policy challenges in the near neighbourhood of the European Union, stemming from the consequences of the Arab Spring uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa in the early 2010s, and from obviously the Ukrainian Revolution of 2014, not to mention the migration crisis of 2015. And all of this combined contributed to the rise of populist parties in many EU countries, which then played into the Brexit referendum in the UK in 2016. And these interlinked crises created an overarching crisis of EU governance. And my recent book, Ireland and the European Union, Economic, Political and Social Crises, examines how Ireland's relationship with the European Union was affected by the succession of crises. So I suppose I should also say relationships, because the book also looks at the Republic of Ireland, but also Northern Ireland. And the various crises were not of equal significance. The financial crisis was a huge issue for the Republic of Ireland, but much less so for Northern Ireland. Brexit has had a major impact both in Northern Ireland, but also the Republic of Ireland. And then when you look at migration and populism, these issues were less controversial, and foreign policy challenges had a very minimal impact. And I think one of the interesting features of Irish politics during the financial crisis was a more nuanced public understanding of the European Union, very much critical of austerity, but more appreciative of other social dimensions of the European Union. And this suggests an evolution in Irish public opinion about the EU. There's also a very clear contradiction that Ireland always registers among the most pro-EU countries in public opinion surveys. But despite that fact, it has on several occasions voted against EU treaties. And during the financial crisis and the Brexit crisis, there was also no discernible iRexit effect in Irish public opinion. There was no way Ireland was going to follow the UK and leave the European Union. So although Irish public opinion continues to show levels of knowledge of the EU that are lower than the EU average, their overall attitudes remain very positive, and this has very much strengthened after Brexit.
So what do you expect for the future, Catherine?
For a long time, Ireland has seen was seen as a pro-European country, one that has benefited from many EU policies and programmes. And I think there is now a more questioning dimension to that relationship. But at the same time, the broad outlook does remain pro-European. Brexit in particular has served to underline Ireland's commitment to, if not dependency on, the European Union. But I think there are several potential problems which could disrupt that commitment. Brexit has changed relations between the Republic and Northern Ireland and between Ireland and Britain in ways that are still far from known. The EU is also still changing, with emerging calls for deeper European integration. And when Ireland is genuinely supportive of further integration, developments in areas such as defence cooperation, tax harmonisation, could cause problems. And I think finally, the global situation is constantly evolving. And issues such as climate change, health security and deglobalisation could have a major impact on future Irish-EU relations.
Thank you very much, so much, Catherine. And be sure that EU Radio is yours. Come back wherever, whenever you want, and hope we will have you again on EU Radio.
Thank you so much, Laurence. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I promise to stop by at the nearest opportunity. It has a very, very special place in my heart, and thank you so much for inviting me today.